Today's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcision, which is done in the body by human hand. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners, to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit.
Today we're going to think about the blood of Christ. Jesus achieved incredible things on the events we're about to celebrate on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And the Bible has a lot to say about his blood. Now, this might seem a bit strange and a bit gory, but it is key to understanding what the Christian faith is about. What happened almost 2,000 years ago was not just some minor event. We believe that it was the key event in all of world's history. That's why we celebrate it. So let's start by going back another 1,000 years to the time of King David. Now, David, one day he had his army with him, and they were near a garrison that was occupied by the enemy. David was thirsty, and he made a remark about how thirsty he was and how he wished that somebody would go in and get some water for him. Now, David never said that seriously. I mean, like many of us, we're sometimes prone to saying things that we don't really mean. But three of David's warriors took him at his word, and they attacked the enemy line, and they fought their way through, and they got some water, worked their way back, and came back to David. And when David saw this water, he was guilt-stricken. What have I done? And he thought, I can't drink this. And he takes the drink, the water, and he pours it out on the ground as an offering to God. He says, if I drink this water, it would be drinking these men's blood. Fast forward 1,000 years to Jesus saying to his followers, you do need to drink my blood. This is how you have life within you. Now, the very early church got into trouble sometimes because people heard phrases like drink my blood and they thought that people were cannibals in the church. This, of course, wasn't so. They were using it to say, we get the benefit of the way Jesus shed his blood. And there's no point in anybody saying, oh, I'm not good enough for this. This wasn't right. It shouldn't have happened. Because it's the only way that we can come to life. And some of us on Zoom immediately after this will be getting together. We will be sharing bread and wine together. And we will be saying, this is the blood of Christ. Not literally the blood of Christ, but our way of saying that we take to ourselves all of the benefits, everything that he's done for us. You know, David's three warriors got away with it in a way. I don't know how much blood they spilt, but they managed to avoid shedding their own. Jesus shed nobody else's blood, ever. That wasn't who he was. But instead, he went into death, his blood shed for us. Now, blood in the Bible is very often a symbol of life. You have life as long as the blood is circulating within you. And shedding blood was a way of simply saying you killed somebody. David, who we've already mentioned, wanted to build a temple, a dwelling place for God. And God said, no, David, you can't do that because you are somebody who has shed blood. But we follow the Jesus who shed no blood and gave his blood. So blood was used in a lot of their rituals to get this picture of life flowing through somebody and flowing out of somebody. Things that were holy were marked by blood. So today we come to drink the blood of Jesus, not literally, but to take the benefits of everything that he has achieved for us. Of course, his blood literally was spilled. It was spilled when he was whipped. It was spilled when they beat him with sticks. It was spilled when they put a crown of thorns on his head. It was spilled by nails. And after he had died, it was spilled by a spear. And because blood is a symbol of life, this flowing blood becomes for us a symbol of Jesus' life flowing into us. So we are brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And today we get the life, not from a dead Jesus, but from a Jesus who is alive. Hallelujah. If you want to say hallelujah at home and it doesn't seem strange, just shout it out. He is alive. He's living today and his life comes to us. So we are brought near by the death of Christ, by the blood of Christ. We're brought near to God. The way has been opened up for us. Brothers and sisters, the way to know God is through faith in the Jesus who shed his blood for us. You know, some Christians and some people of other spiritualities like to talk about thin places. What they mean by this is places where it seems that God is specially present, where the distance between earth and heaven seems, well, so small. Well, here at the cross is the thinnest place ever. Here is God opening out a new way for us, taking our pain, taking what we deserve and offering us life. So it's an invitation to God. It's an invitation to hope. We look at the cross and we realize that the death of Jesus wasn't the end. That what looked like an utter tragedy actually turned out to be something that had been expected from long ago. It took Jesus to point that out. And something which offers us new hope. Death leads to resurrection. Now, we've been looking at Ephesians in Bible readings recently, and we'll come back to it properly after Easter. But this hope, which it just resounds through the pages of the New Testament, is that the resurrection of Jesus is the start of the resurrection of all creation. God has redeemed us by his blood. He's brought us out of our slavery to death. Now, there's a picture. You know, we are captured by death. And some of us know that so painfully at the moment. But we are released from death by the blood of Jesus. When people released a slave in those days, they'd make a payment. It would be the redemption payment. Well, the payment that has been made for us is the blood of Jesus. We have an invitation to hope. And we have an invitation to promise, the promise of the covenants. The Old Testament books tell us a story of God meeting with a people and making a covenant with them, that he would be their God and they would be his people. And God makes all sorts of promises about how he will be, and he asks them to make commitments about how they will be. And there was an elaborate ceremony in which that covenant was established, and it involved sprinkling blood over the people. And the priest said, "This is the blood of the covenant." And now Jesus brings us into a new ceremony. He gets his disciples together before he dies, and he says, "This is the blood of the covenant. This is a new covenant. This is a new relationship. This is a new promise." And the death of Jesus welcomes us in. Now, David, when he saw the risk that his warriors had taken, said, "I can't drink this." But for us today, we look at what Jesus did and we say, "I can drink this. This is what I need." He didn't do this because we carelessly said something. He did it because he knew what our need was. And finally, it's an invitation to citizenship. It's an invitation to be God's people. In our reading from Ephesians, it's really stressed that this is for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are today. Doesn't matter what tribe you are, what race you are, what gender you are, what sexuality you are, whatever other things you may be today. Here is the place where God says, "You are welcome. This is your invitation. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Let's pray together. And you may feel today that you really do want to pray this prayer for yourself, to say, "Yes, Lord, bring me near." So let's pray. Father, we praise you today that by the blood of Christ, we have been brought near to you. And today, unlike David with his warriors, we say, "Yes, we will drink your blood. We will accept what you've given to us. We will accept this invitation to come close. We will accept the invitation to hope. We will accept the invitation to promise and the invitation to citizenship. Yes, Lord. Yes today. Yes to Jesus. Yes to his blood shed for us. Today we give our lives to you. We pray in Jesus' name." Now, for some of us today, maybe you've prayed that prayer in a way that makes more sense today than before. Or maybe you've prayed something like that for the first time today. If that's you, fantastic. God is good. I would invite you, it's up to you, but I'd invite you to send me a message and tell me what you've done. And it would be lovely to have a bit of a chat with you. But may the Lord bless you in every way. Amen.